We want to look at the Sedra via the spectacles of the Haftarah. The Haftarah is not simply something that's just attached onto the Sedra. And one of the points that we will most probably make week after week is when you find what seems to be a clear relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah, then you should know you've only begun to study it. It's never only the obvious relationship. For example, in the Haftarah that we're going to say this Shabbos for Parshat Lech Lecha, so there's a pasuk that says, Zera Avraham Ohavi. And I wanted to underline that, and you know, I
halfway down the page,
Pasuk 8 in chapter 41, Va'apo Yisrael Avdi Yu Yisrael, my servant Yaakov, Hashem Echarticha, Yaakov, whom I have chosen, Zera Avraham Ohavi, you are the seed of Avraham who loved me. So now there you have it. The whole Sedra, of course, is talking about Avraham. And here we have a Haftarah that says, Zera Avraham Ohavi, Avraham here, Avraham there. We've got ourselves a connection. But that's only the beginning. There is so much profound information in this Haftarah that gives us a very unique way of looking at the Sedra, and we will only be able to scratch the surface of it. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone over this Haftarah. I don't remember how many refreshments I went through. But every so often there's another idea that strikes. I was sitting upstairs, there's an upper sanctum, you understand, the third floor, or really the first floor, fourth floor. Nobody gets there except the top executives. So I was sitting there, it was quiet. So I just made a few notes. That the words Zera Avraham Ohavi may very well be telling us the whole story. And at the beginning of the Sedra, one can wonder, and I'll tell you somebody who does wonder, is Avraham Avinu a flash in the pan? Is he an aberration in society that will pass? Is he a shooting star that's going to end up someplace in the netherworld? Is he a fad? He has a lot of people now in Ur Kasdan, Ur of the Chaldees that follow him. Is he a fad? Is he the latest guru? Gurus come, gurus go. Is Avraham Avinu an interesting interlude in history? Here was, all the way back there 4,000 years ago, This fellow who lives in Ur Kasdan, got this crazy idea about the existence of an invisible God who created it all. And what's even crazier about him is he decides that he's going to bring this message to a pagan and heathen world. What are the chances of his survival? What are the chances that 10 years after his death, he won't simply have been completely forgotten, passing like a shadow, wiped off the earth? This concern, I believe, is shared by Avraham Avinu himself. Avraham Avinu has undertaken an absolutely Herculean and near impossible mission. Who's going to carry on afterwards? When God appears to him in a dream and tells him, Avraham, Al Tiba, don't be afraid. I'm going to read a few selections from the Sedra. You don't have it on your sheet. God appears to him in a dream after the battle between the Avraham and the four kings, and he vanquishes them. God spoke to Avraham in a vision, and he says to him, Al Tiba, Avraham, Don't be afraid, Avram. Elohim Mogelah, I will protect you. Your reward is great. And something that's most probably been bothering Avram 50 years at least, finally comes to the surface. There are all sorts of things that we think about and we're concerned about, and we just don't want to say it. Finally, he says it, Vayomer Avram. Avram said, Asher Elokim, Mati Pengli, what is there that you can give me? Vanochi Holech Avidi, I'm childless. Upeneshek Basi, the one who's in charge of my house, is Damesek Eliezer. You know what he's expressing? The fear that Avram has had every day since he undertook the great mission. When he passes from the scene, there will be nobody to pick up that message. And everything that Avram has been accomplished will simply disintegrate into the dust. Avram speaks a second time to God. And I have when it says twice, Vayomer Avram said, and then it says immediately a second time, Vayomer Avram, it means that there's a sense of hesitation, and he's building up the courage to say, and he says it to God straight out. Hey, li lo matata zera, you didn't give me children. V'nei ben yodeshoti, the one who's in charge of my house, is going to inherit me. God appears to him, and he says to him, lo yirosh hoseh, he will not inherit you. One will come from your womb is the one who will inherit you. I ran through the Sedra, and if I'm not mistaken, I counted the word Lazaracho 14 times. If I make a more intensive study of the parasha, it may be that the word Lazaracho to your children appears more than any other word in the Sedra. God keeps telling him from the very first time that he appears to him, after he comes into Eretz Yisrael, and the first thing, Vayera Hashem Avram, God appeared to Avram, he said to him, Lezarapha Eteh, that the Eretz Hazos, to your children, I will give this land. Avram is waiting for a blessing of this sort. And Vayera Hashem is there, he builds an altar there to God who appeared to him, and Rashi says, he built the altar out of the Sorat HaZera because he was told that he's going to have children. About the Sorat Eretz Yisrael and the good news that he's going to have Eretz Yisrael. It keeps being repeated throughout the Sedra time and time again. Even after Avram finally gets up the guts to say to the Levite, but listen, you keep telling me to your children I will give this land. But there are no children. And he's concerned about children. Well, most probably for the natural reasons why people are concerned, but Avram has a great deal more writing on it. Because by Avram being without a child, that's his whole message, his whole life's work is God. God. So when the Haftarah says, Zera Avram, O Avi, the seed of Avram who loved me, in those three words, you really have the very heart of the Sedra. The heart of the Sedra, it's not going to be resolved yet. By the end of the Sedra, he's going to be told again, I will give this land to your seed. And he is also told that he has to undergo the Yitzhak B'lit Milah. Yitzhak is not going to be born, and of course, miraculously, only in Pasha Palego. Haftorah, in fact, we will see, is full of promises and guarantees that are of the utmost importance. The Haftorah is significant also because in Parashat Lech Lecha, a great journey, one of the greatest journeys in all of history, begins. We happen to be 4,000 years later part of that journey. We're here because of him. We're talking about an unbelievable journey. Avraham doesn't know at the outset how long this journey is going to take. He doesn't have a clue. The question, of course, is, and if he does have children, what's the guarantee? What's the guarantee that it's going to survive? He'll have children. His children will believe in him. He may have an ankle. He may even have a great-grandchild. Our Rabbeinu has it in his own experience. All you have to do is, if you take a look at the list of nations that are mentioned at the end of Parshat Noach, by the time of Avraham, they were already faint memories. There had already been all sorts of nations that existed on the face of this earth that had disappeared into the dust. And there were all sorts of names over there that simply are not going to appear again anymore in Torah because they were gone. There are others that are going to appear later on in Torah and Tanakh in history. Yes, there's going to be a Yohan later on. There's going to be an Ashur. There are going to be a few of them. But Avraham Avinu already has had the experience of seeing nations that have simply disappeared from the face of this earth. Avraham is concerned as he sets out on this great journey. Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? I mean, see, we're at a great advantage. We just about know the end of the story because we're part of the end of the story. Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there. He survived. And how did he survive? And he survived because of the fact that the 14 times, like what the Shabbat tells him, Lazarus, to your children, I'm going to give this land, and they will follow in your footsteps after you. The Haftorah begins at a very fascinating point, and over here also, very often, in order to understand the Haftorah, you have to know the context in which it appears. It's the Sefer Yeshayahu. It's the end of chapter 40. What's chapter 40? Chapter 40 is the famous chapter that begins with Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar, Rukechem. God says to his prophets, console my people. The pasuk before the Haftorah is the last pasuk of Nachamu. And you know what happens after Nachamu? Nachamu is the consolation of Yerushalayim. Speak to Yerushalayim, Dabdu Aliba. Speak to her heart. Tell her it's going to be okay. God calls out to Yerushalayim. The voice is heard from the Vaseret Zion and the Vaseret Yerushalayim. God speaks out. It's going to be okay. Your children are going to come back. The mountain ranges are going to become plains, and Jews are going to make their way across the world and return. But after Nachamu, you know where we end up after Nachamu? We end up at a point with some point, or one of many points in history, where Jews are simply walking on the outer edge of despair. Of despair. They feel that God has forgotten them. They feel the tzaras are so great, they're not sure anymore that they're going to make it to the next generation. And this is exactly where our Haftorah begins. Lama, Tama Yaakov, why do you say something like that? Uvigaveh Yisrael. Yisrael, why do you say something? What is it that Yaakov and Yisrael are saying? They're saying, Mister or dark you may Hashem, my way is hidden from Hashem. The word Mishpatiya Umehim means the way I'm going to survive or conduct myself, it has passed God by. Now this most problem is at a moment of despair when a Jew feels that he doesn't sense the presence of God. We're suffering terribly. We need the revelation. Only how many times in history have we needed him? Truth is, there was a mistake by the just days. We need him every moment in history. There is no specific time, but we need him now just as desperately as we needed him at other times in history. And he says there are those who are going to say, God, where are you? Kaili, Kaili, Loma, Azatani, God, why have you forsaken me? Now, what may be interesting to note at this point is that there's a difference between the word Tomar and the word Tidaber. There's a difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. The difference between Yaakov and Yisrael, Yaakov usually refers to the masses of Jews. Yisrael represents the intellectual elite. I'm talking about Torah intellectual elite. Tomar usually means simple statements, the kind that you would expect from the masses of people. Tidaber already means a more profound statement that comes from Yisrael. Which means that nobody is talking at a period in history where both the masses and the great leaders of the people find themselves in with a sense of confusion and, as I say, bordering upon despair. And they wonder, where is God when we need him most? So God says the following, you know it, in lo shamata, if you haven't heard it. Elokei olam, Hashem, God. It may be interesting, you should know in Tanakh, the word olam never means world. The word olam in Tanakh always means eternal, forever. May atah be'alam. Elokei olam, Hashem, God is the eternal one. I'm always around. I'm always aware. Bonei Kitzot Haaretz, the one who creates the very ends of the earth. Lo Yi'af, he does not become exhausted. Lo Yi'gah, he doesn't become fatigued. Let's see if I translate. Who neither wearies nor tires. I didn't choose any one of those two words. What did I use? Exhausted and fatigued. Lo Yi'af, Lo Yi'gah. Ein Chekel Tfunato. There is no way to investigate him and know him and know him fully. Hallo Yodato in Lo Shamato. God never gets exhausted. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't give up. No tame my life, Koach. Now you want to know where the bracha that we say in the morning comes from? God is the one who gives, the one who's exhausted, he gives him strength. And the one without might, God gives him great might. Why is he saying all this? Because when Jews say, Mr. Darki Hashem, that God is concealed from me, he doesn't see, you know what that means? That we're becoming very weary and we're becoming very exhausted. We're tired already. How long? How many more songs? How many more great problems are we going to have to confront? How long? Don't we want to sometimes feel, finally can sit back, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. I can't remember when the last time that was. And you get exhausted from that. Get exhausted. Not another demonstration. Another problem to deal with. Another great crisis. Who was it that said, Jews in Israel live in a state of normal emergency? I think it was Yossi Klein Halevi, who writes in an article, he described us as normal emergency. It can get very, very upsetting. So the Rebbeinu says, I'm the one who gives you strength. And you know what? The mighty ones are going to disappear from the face of the earth. But the Kovei, the Ofu, Na'odin, the Go, the young are going to get exhausted and fatigued. Ubakulim, Bakulim represents those with great strength. Koshoni Koshelu are going to stumble. Going to stumble and they're going to fall. Go compare the Jewish people with the might of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. One of the greatest powers ever on the face of this earth. You understand? One of the greatest powers. And in 70 years, it was probably is a record. History is a record. The Greeks and the Romans and the Chaldeans and the Assyrians lasted for hundreds of years. And the great USSR crumbled in 70 years. It's unbelievable, 70 years. And what are we compared to them? We're nothing. Did we have a hand in bringing down the mighty giant? No question about it. No question about it. I've often quoted, I think it was Cicero who said, as a Roman historian, he said when Judea rebels, Judea was one of the smallest provinces of the great Roman Empire. When Judea rebels, the Roman Empire quakes, as shuckled over there. The Purgita, I can understand, in
in Judea when they rebelled.
Rome is shaking. And the USSR runs there and shakes, because the difference is the following. The young and the Bahurim, the strong ones, they're going to be fatigued, exhausted. They're going to stumble. The Kovei Hashem, those whose hope is God, Yachalifu God, they receive renewed strength. Yalu Eiver Kaneshorim, they're going to grow wings like eagles. Yorimtsu, they're going to run, Velohi go, they don't get exhausted. Yelchu, Velohi Yahu, they go. Yelchu, Velohi Yahu, and they don't get exhausted, they don't get tired. Now it's interesting, Yorimtsu, one who runs, obviously is going to get exhausted pretty quickly. Alright, so you have a long distance run, you can keep it up, a few hours, a few days up. But Yelchu, we're all walkers, don't we all walk? If you're not walking, you should start today. The best thing for you. Yelchu, go. The only thing is, even one who's walking, there comes a point where you walk an hour, you walk 2 hours, you've had it. I believe one of the key words in this sedra is Yelchu. The whole sedra is the story of Lech Lecha. Avram is going to start walking. You know how long the walk is going to be? It's not over yet. It's a pretty long walk. And you should know, people who walk stay healthy. And we've been walking for 4,000 years. God tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, Vayelech Avram. That's another word that you have to watch. How many times have the person said that? Vayelech here and Vayelech there? God tells him, "Kum hitalech baretz, go pick yourself up and walk through the land, along its length and along its width." The first great hiker in Eretz Yisrael was Avraham Avinu. At the end of the sefer, God tells him, "Hitalech lufanayim, walk before me, v'heyei tamim." Avraham Avinu marches out on the great walk. It's a marathon, a 4,000-year marathon. So the Pasuk says, Yelchu, you're going to keep going the low you go. You know what the Haftorah is saying? The Haftorah is saying that this story that begins with Avraham Avinu is not going to be the story of somebody who's a flash in the pan. This is not going to be a shooting star that's going to end up someplace in the netherworld. We're not talking about a little interlude in history. We are talking about a great journey that has begun. And you should know, God says, in this great journey, you may think at times that I am concealed from you. Don't ever think that. The fact is that I'm with you and you will receive renewed strength. After every period of downers, and we've had the worst downers in history, there is a kaleidoscope that rises with renewed kaya. The whole Haftorah is the flip side of the Seder. The Seder is the beginning of the story. The Haftorah is going to tell us the continuation of the story throughout all history. You should know the Haftorah is the prophetic end of the Seder, meaning that it indeed has no end. It begins, but it doesn't end. The guarantee that Avraham Avinu's march is not going to end up in failure. Is here about Torah. Hacharishu Eli Iyim. Be silent. Listen carefully to me. Iyim, the islands, Ula Umim, and the nations of the world, Yachalifu Koach. God is going to enter into a dialogue with the nations of the world. And he says, Lu'umim, the nations of the world, Yachlifu Koach. He's giving them a chance. Go ahead, renew your batteries, because I want to talk to you. Yishu, draw close. Oz Yidabenu, then let me speak. Yachdo wa Mishpat Nitzova, the two of us together. God, nations of the world, we will stand before Mishpat. And Mishpat only does not mean justice. What Mishpat means, the word Mishpat also has many meanings, by the way. The word Mishpat means that we're in a dialogue, we're in a debate. We're going to talk. We're going to talk. Don't be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. We're going to talk. And then he begins. And here are a few psukim that are really a pivot of the whole Haftarah. And there are three different opinions as to what these psukim are talking about. I will tell you briefly the three, and of course we're going to take one position and it will be clear what that one position is. Mi heir mi mizrach. Who's the one that aroused him from the east? It's there, the Art Scroll translation on the side already lets me in to the secret, because they put in brackets, who aroused Abraham from the east. Now the fact is that there are the Russians who say that this person who was aroused from the east was Koresh, king of Persia. And there is a third opinion, and that's the Malbim, who says that we're talking about Mashiach. Mashiach is going to come from someplace out in the east. The Medrashim? What is it? Brooklyn? What is it?
From the east, they cannot climb that.
Watch this. We're of course going to take the position that's taken by Rashi and all the Medrashim. And the fact is, by virtue of Chachmei Yisrael, whoever they were, making this the Haftorah for Parashat Lech Lecha, they are telling us that the Pshat in the Navi, and here is an example where the Parashat tells us Pshat in the Navi that it's talking about Avram. Mi heir mi mizrach, who aroused the great one from the east, said that Yikra'ehu ledaglo, before his feet he called out for justice. And you know what ultimately happened? No, his message is not only that there's a God. We have to never lose sight of the fact. Avraham Avinu's message wasn't just that there's a God, but that this God makes demands on us. There's divine justice. There's righteousness in this world. The pagan and heathen peoples were immoral. They were immoral. Unconscionable. But there's a God in this world who makes demands. Tzedek Yikra'ehu ledaglo. And with his feet, remember? Avraham is walking, right? Avraham is walking. Yelcho, the Logi go. He walks, and he doesn't get exhausted. Yitain l'thomach goyim, God gives nations before him, u'melachim yard, and he rules over kings. Yitain ke'afor harbo, like dust is his sword. Kikash nirdav kash nirdav kashto. His bow is like shredded straw. I mean, obviously, you can understand by what the Medrash is talking about. What takes place in the Sefer? One of the things that happens, of course, is the great struggle between Avraham and the four kings. We're told a story about four kings and five kings. And the four kings are mighty because they conquer the five kings. The five kings served the four for 12 years, and then they rebel, a rebellion of 13 years in length. And finally, the four kings come to crush the rebellion, and they destroy Sodom and Amorah, and they capture Lot and all of his family, and all the people of Sodom and Amorah are taken off. And then comes the unknown messenger who comes to Avraham and tells him that his nephew has been captured. Avraham Avinu, without hesitation, he rounds up all his men and he goes out on what I always call the midnight ride of Avraham Avinu, all the way to Damascus. Avraham Avinu crushes the four superpowers of the day. What's his power? What's the power? How many divisions does Avraham Avinu have?
One.
One. God. That's the whole point. Yalu Eve Kanishayim, the weak who are Chrysler, wings of eagles, Yachlifu Kalach. He goes out there and he pursues them, Yitin Ke'opach. Jehovah Havel, I hope we'll get to the Mephishim of the Gemara, that says that Avraham Avinu had the earth, that he threw earth at them, and it turned into to swords. He threw straw, and the straw became arrows.
There's another pshat that says that with his sword, he turned all of their swords into earth. With his bow, he turned all of their bows into straw. He miraculously destroyed it. Certainly wasn't this was not in the normal course of events. Now, if you can tell me, if it would have been Avraham Avinu alone, it would have been a miracle, but there were two of them. There was Avraham and Eliezer, and therefore they were able to destroy four great nations. Year the fame, he pursues them. That's the midnight ride. Year the fame. Yahavorim passes throughout the journey, shalom, at peace. And you know where he's riding hard during the course of that night? On a path that he had never before gone with his feet. Mipal Varsha. Who made and did this all? Who do you think did it all? Korei Hadorot Medosh. The one who knows what's going to happen in all generations, and he knows it Medosh from the very beginning. Oh, Haftarah is to say that all this is emanating from the person, from the being. The being knows everything in advance. And there's a guarantee that Klal Yisrael is going to survive. Avraham Avinu is going to continue walking through all of history. And there will be so many nations that will disappear from the face of the earth, but Avraham Avinu is going to keep going. Without exhaustion, without fatigue, without being weary, nor tiring. Korei Dorot Medosh. And if you don't know who's the one that can call out what's going to happen in all generations in advance, Ani Hashem, Hisham, I was here at the very beginning. And you should know, I can guarantee it all, because Ve'et Acharonim, at the end, Anihu, I'm still going to be here. What did we say at the beginning of our Torah? Elokei Olam Hashem, the God of eternity. Ro'im, the islands, that represents people even at the furthest extremities of the world. They saw the Yiro and they were frightened. Ketzot Haaretz, the ends of the world, Yeheradu, trembled. Because God was calling them for dialogue. Come, Chavre, let's talk. Korobu Vanya Esoyim. They drew close and they came. And Ishat Re'ei Elzaru, each one tries to help his friend, Ula Achiv, Yamar Chazak, and to his brother he says, be strong. And they're all preparing. They're all preparing for their battle or their struggle with God. And the struggle with God, of course, always takes the form of their struggle with Israel. By the Chazei Chorosh et Soreif, Machalit Patish et Holein Pan, Omer Ladevek Tovu, by the Chazkein and Masmeidin Lo Yimo. There are a lot of pshatim on this pasuk. We'll take it now simply that they're preparing the implements of war. The Charash is the carpenter. The Soreif is the one who works with metals. Huh? The smith, by Yechazek, Chorosh et Soreif, Machalik Patish, the one who beats the anvil, the hammer, at Holen Palm, that's another form of hammer with which he bangs on the anvil, and Omer Ladevek Tovu, the glue is good, and by Chaskev and Masmidim, and he makes strengthens it with nails, long notes, so it should not falter. As I say, there are so many pshatim on this passage, kind of referring to the implements of war, or it talks about those who are making their idols. The idols. You know, they bang, they use wood, they use metal. And you slow, you're going to watch all of this. But after you slow out the, you slow my servant, Yaakov Hashem Karticha, Yaakov, whom I have chosen, Zera Avram Oavi, you are the seed of Avram, whom are friend. Yaakov and Yisrael are used over here because that's Zaracha. They represent Zaracha. Yisrael, you are my servant. Yisrael, you said, are the elite, the great scholars, the Talmidei Chachamim.
Yaakov are the masses of people, and it's fascinating that with regard to Yaakov, the Navi uses the word in the name of God, Asher Becharticha, that I chose you. Because Asher Becharticha means that I chose you unconditionally. If it would have said Yisrael, whom I've chosen, that would have meant that I've chosen the great Talmidei Chacham, the great scholars, the great Yerushalayim, but the masses of Jews know, Yaakov Asher Becharticha, I chose you unconditionally. Don't think that anything is going to change in history. My promises and my guarantees remain with you forever into eternity. Asher Hechazakticha, I gave you strength. Mitzot Haaretz, from all ends of the world, wherever you are. Umei Atzileha Kiraticha, and I have summoned you from amongst all the leaders of the world. Va'omalecha, I say to you, Avdi Ata, you are my servant. Bechartikha, I have chosen you. The Lord Asticha, I have never despised you. You're never going to be rejected. Avraham Avinu is going to continue walking from Lech Lecha, and keeps going through history. Altira, don't be afraid. Ki Imcha Ani, I am with you. This is unbelievable. I'm beginning to feel better and sort of pressed the last few days. Thank God I'm able to learn this chapter. Ki Imcha Ani, I am with you. How many times have we mentioned in the course of the years that there are two words in Hebrew that can mean with, et, and in? It could have said ki itcha ani. It says ki imcha ani. What's the difference between et and in? And this is something that you can use in understanding many, many psukim in Torah. Many of them, of course, you say it begins with the Ksava Kabbalah, who says it even on this set. Even on this letter. The different penguin says it. Two people get on a bus. They don't know each other. They're going with one another to the Tachana Merkazit. Are they really going together?
No.
Are they really going to the same purpose? No. If I get on to the bus with my wife, I am in-law, assuming we're going to the same place, you know, she may be going off who knows where, and I may be going off who knows where. But assuming that we're going the same direction to the same place, that's in. In is always used when we're talking about two people, same intent, same purpose, they're in one another. In, you know, we could be two separate people who just happen to be going the same place. Here in the beginning of the Sedra, it says that after God tells Avraham Avinu, go, Vayelech Avraham, and Avraham went, Kasher Diber Elav Hashem, as God spoke to him, Vayelech Ito Lot. Lot went with him. Could the Pasuk have said, Vayelech Imo Lot? Lot is not on the level of Avraham. God hasn't appeared to him, and I don't know what ever happened if God would have appeared to Lot. Thank God he didn't. Lot is going with Avram because he has nobody else to take care of him. He's going with Avram, not out of choice. Is he going for the same purpose? Is he starting out the great journey that Avram is? No. So therefore it says, he told Lot. But I think that there's a change. After they come out of Egypt, and Avram comes out of Egypt wealthy, by now Avram in Mitzrayim, Avram came out of Mitzrayim, who Yishto, he and his wife, the Chor HaShalot, and all who are with him, the Lot Imo Hanecho. Lot is going with him. Now over here, of course, it may very well be, he wanted to get out of Mitzrayim and get back there as Canaan just as badly as our father even did. Is he emo because it's worth it? He's become very wealthy by being with Avram. Is it possible that Lot therefore does begin to feel a sense of connectedness to Avram? Al-Tira, ki yinkhani, don't be afraid because I'm with you. Al-Tishra, don't turn away.
Don't turn off and say, Ki ani elokecha, I'm your God. Imasticha, I've given you courage. Ahazarticha, I've helped you. Aftamachticha, I have supported you b'yumin tzidki with my righteousness of my right hand. And the other use my left hand. The left is not righteous. The right is righteous. All right. They will be ashamed and embarrassed, all of those who are angry with you. Those nations will be like nothing. The ones who contend with you are going to be lost. You should know this is going to happen in history. God has made a promise here that we have seen fulfilled 100 times over in history. Tabachem, you're going to look for those nations. The Lotin say, you're not going to find them. I'm Shem Absum Teha. The ones who, this already means more than contended, those who did battle with you. You ka'ayin u'cha'ef is like nothing and zero. I'm Shem Absum Teha. The people who waged war with you. All of these are promises that we have seen. Ki ani Hashem Odecha. I am God, your God. Mahazit yiminecha. I hold on to you, to your right hand. And I say to you, Altira, don't be afraid. Ani azarticha, I have assisted you, I've aided you. This is Mamish, the story of climbers of our history. Altini talat Yaakov, you worm Yaakov. The term worm over here is not used the way we might think of it in English. It represents weakness. Yaakov, you're weak. You seem to be weak, but don't be afraid. Metei Israel, the people of Israel, Ani Azarticha, I have helped you, Yom Hashem, V'Gavaleichem, I'm your Redeemer, Kadosh Israel, the Holy One of Israel. And the end is going to be that you're going to crush your enemies. He means, Santich, I have made you, Kimo Lemorad, Chadush, Chadash, a threshing tool that's new. And it bowed, it has like mouths or like sharp blades that come down. Todush Barim, you will crush mountains, and mountains refers now to mountains, means great nations, the Tadot, into small little pieces, Ugvaots Kamotasim, and hills you will make like the Shah. Tisrein, you will winnow them, the Ruach Tisrein, and the wind will blow them away, and the storm will scatter them. You will be full of joy in God. You will put glory in the holiness of God. Through this, I didn't even plan on reading the whole of Torah, because now what we have to do is begin to understand it. With about 10 minutes left to go. But it was such an inspiring Haftarah, I couldn't help it. I started and I couldn't stop. I'll tell you some of the Midrashim on the other side. Midrash. And this Midrash, number one, the Midrash, you can see already some of the ideas that I've expressed. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, my God. Rabbi Yehuda, the Nehru God said, Minayin Shein Mazel Yisrael. Now you have to understand this. You can't translate it. How do you know that Yisrael doesn't have Mazel? Mazel in the Gemara means being under and influenced by one of the signs of the zodiac. The signs of the zodiac are called mazalos. How do we know that the mazalos have no impact? Astrology has no impact on the Jewish people. Because we are directly under God Himself. There are no other forces of the world that can have any impact on us. How do we know Shem Masmi is so? Shinema, it says, this week's letter. Avgon says, I don't have anybody who's going to pick up where I leave off. I have no children. So it says, by Yotze Yotom, Akut Sardar took it outside. Omar Avron was there, because his brother Avron is dead before the Holy One, blessed be He, to Beni Shalom. Creator of the world, master of the world. Ben Beitino Neshati. The one who's in charge of my house is going to inherit me. Amalosa, God told him, not so. The one who's going to come out of your womb. Amal the prophet said to him, The base of this upon being the rest of the stack, how did it stack needle chili? I looked at my sign of the zodiac. There ain't no, there ain't any growing in the holy bend. And I can't have a child. I know that. Unless God told him this is brought by Rashi in an abridged form. Say that it's stack needle chili. Go out of your astrology. Forget about it. Ain't nothing in the soil. Your soil is not influenced by any of the heavenly bodies. Not that, why? The koi tzedek the matter. Tzedek is one of the mazals. Is that Mars? Jupiter? I want to look it up. It's one of the Jupiter? Whatever it is.
I'm not sure.
Doesn't look like anybody else here knows anyway, so. You have a chance, so God says in the beginning, because tzedek, that mazal, that planet, is now in the east, in the west, and that influences you. Ma'adah, you know what I can do with the Mazalos? Ma'adah, I can move them with Minalab and Mizrah, and I can put Tzedek to the east. And that's what the Navi says. Mihei irmi Mizrah Tzedek. Who is the one that moved Mizrah and Tzedek to the east? In other words, it's really the message of the whole Haftarah. The message of the whole Haftarah is that we are directly connected to God. There's Hashdokha Pardis. So therefore, Yaakov, why did you ask that silly question, Mr. Adarki Hashem, my way is concealed from God? There's no such thing. There's Hashgacha Pratis. We better believe it, that there's divine providence that watches over the Jewish people. My content is fascinating, and it seems not to be interpreting the Sukkim as we did. In the Sedra, and by the way, this is another connection. When God appears to Avram in the vision at night, it says, Al Tidra Avram. Don't be afraid, Avram. How many times did it say in this Haftarah, Al Tidra, and it said to Yaakov? By the way, God is going to appear to Yitzchak in Parashat Tovos, and you know what he's going to tell Yitzchak? Al Tidra. And in Parashat Vayigash, when Yaakov is on his way to Mitzrayim to see his son Yosef, and he stops in Beersheba, and God appears to him b'chalom halayla in a dream at night, and he says to him, Al Yaakov, Al Tida, Al Tida. But what he's saying on Mitzrayim Shabbos, we should have used to. Al Tida Abdi Yaakov, Al Tida Abdi Yaakov. Is that a pasuk in this Haftarah? Did it say here Al Tida Abdi Yaakov?
Yes, it does. Yes,
okay. Yes. How can I pass?
I'm
still old. Seven years. Pass. How did I get it? No. I love it.
There
are a lot of Alpinos. I don't remember. All right. No, I was thinking of Mitzrayim Shabbos there, but it does appear, I think it's in Yirmiyahu. I'm sorry, I think it's in Yirmiyahu. So I thought it's good, you all look through it, it's very good. Al Tida Abdi Yaakov. So here in the center, let's go back to that message. Al Tida. Let's go. Al Tida Abram, don't be afraid. Minyin it Yaakov. Why does God tell Abram? Rashi brings this also in very brief. After the battle with the four kings, Melchizedek, king of Yerushalayim, comes out toward him to greet him, and the king of Stone. And then after it's all over, the great victory party is all over. God senses, he knows that Abram is afraid. So he comes to him in a vision and he says to Melchizedek, don't be afraid. So the marriage says, we mean it, Yahweh, who is afraid of? Rabbach Yamar Rabbach said, we shame Nitzgadeh. He was afraid of shame. You know what he said, that the king of Yerushalayim was Shem, the son of Noach. Avram is afraid of shame. Adon Yitzchak, that's why it says in the Haftarah, Ro'u Iyim V'yiro, so tall it's V'yachadu, the island saw the ends of the earth tremble. Ma'iyim Halalu Yisuyamin Bayam, just as you can clearly identify an island in the sea. Kaholavon Bishem in the Suyami Ba'olam. There were two people who lived at the same time, who were the outstanding people in the world. And the two of them were Shem, the son of Noah, who was Melchizedek, and Avram. And were frightened. Avram was afraid of Shem, and Shem was afraid of Avram. Who did Avram wage war with? The children of Shem. And he killed many of the children of Shem. So Avram is afraid that maybe Shem holds it against me that I kill his children. Shem was afraid of Avram. Maybe Avram will say, Shesh believe by he holds it against me. Shehad Madati to show him that I had children who are evil. So Tarets, two ends of the earth. Zesh Shogi Kito Shalom, Zesh Shogi Kito Shalom. This on one side, the other one on the other side. Kobu Bayer Soyan. And I imagine they're living on two sides of the world. They weren't really living on two sides of the world. Shem was in Shalomim, and Avram was in Hebron or Beersheba. But they represented two parts of the world. Shem was one part of the world, and Avram was the other part of the world. They came close. Zechar Eitzel Zeh, Zechar Eitzel Zeh. This one came to this one. Ishel Ve'ehu Yasoru. Remember those psukim in Haftarah that are talking about the carpenter and the smith? You know who the carpenter is? The carpenter is Shem, because he helped build the table. They each help one another. Shem gave blessings to Avram. Shem gave blessings to Avram. And Avram gave gifts to Shem. As it says in the Sefer, by Yivarchei, when he blessed him, by Yom, he said, Baruch Avram, blessed is Avram, le'el enyon to the God on high. Because it says that Avram gave lo ma'aser a tenth mikol. By Yichazek Chorosh, the carpenter, Zeh Shem shal sakha teva that made the ark. Et Soreg, Zeh Avram, that is Avram, Shetzorpro HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kivshan ha'esh. Why is Avram called the Tzorei? Because he's the one that went through fire. He went through the furnace. He went through the furnace of Nimrod. Machalik patish et halim tam shehalik patishol v'holam et kol v'ay olam b'derech. The one who hit them on the head. Hit the whole world on the head with a hammer and they're still shaking from it is Avram. Because he started knocking sense into them. That's the power of Avram. The ones who cling and cleave the glue are those nations of the world who decided it's good to be glued to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The God of Avram. What are the nails with which Avram is strengthened? Mitzvah and Masim Tovim. Mitzvah and Masim Tovim hold the entire structure that is gathered together. Without Mitzvah and Masim Tovim, gathered crumbles. I'd like to sum up, that the Haftarah, by the way, I tell you again, we only scratched the surface. The Haftarah gives us so many insights into the Sefer. The Haftarah is the continuation of the Sefer. A journey has begun, and the Haftarah tells us that journey is going to go on into eternity. Yes?
Melchizedek is really the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Abraham, not
Moses. Yes?
We all came from
Shem.
How many generations from the 10
between
Ten.
From Shem to Abraham, 10 generations.
How many generations could still be alive?
Because the 10 generations from Adam until Noah, and the 10 from Noah till Abraham, lived long lives. With Abraham it ended already. By Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it all ended. But yes, how long did Adam live? How long did the Tusharah live? By the way, the other significance of Abraham and Shem Do you know when the two of them come together? I'm only going to say this in one sentence, but it's all part of the Bible. Where do they come together? Huh? Yerushalayim. The Medrash says the name Yerushalayim was given to this city by God. Malki said that Shane called it Shalem, Avram called it Yir'eh, and God made the name Yerushalayim. Our Shem and Avram come together in the name Yerushalayim. I once gave it. Share that. Maybe we'll find it in next week's Haftarah. If not next week's Haftarah, I'll find somebody to bring it in to another Haftarah. All right.